This is the Make Sierra Leone Famous podcast. If you're looking to explore Sierra Leone and understand its culture and its people, you've come to the right place. On every show, you'll meet Sierra Leonean creatives and entrepreneurs overcoming challenges and beating the odds. They are artists, filmmakers, musicians, chefs, writers, storytellers, and designers leading Sierra Leone's orange economy, both at home and from the diaspora. I'm your host, Vicky Rameau, journalist, entrepreneur, and community builder on a mission to expand Sierra Leone's presence on the web. Hashtag Make Sierra Leone Famous. The other voice you'll hear on Make Sierra Leone Famous is sound engineer and producer Frank Vin Bob McEwen at VRNC Marketing Company in Freetown, where this show is mixed and mastered. Now, make the show begin.
Sierra Leoneans should expect great things the next 5 years. We are moving this thing. You know, if you don't get to love us, you know, if you don't get to see us or accept what we've got to offer, then, I mean, maybe you like us from afar, you know, but we need to do something. We need to be more visible. We are taking it to the streets. I was telling a producer yesterday that, you know, now private sectors, the company owners, blah, 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 refusing to sign a lot of entertainers as brand ambassador, take us to the street. Blah, blah. Let's take it for ourselves, to the streets. Let them see how serious we are, especially after we've been pushing for our policy for about 10 years now, just for that policy to be enacted. As entertainers, we can be safe. We can be protected.
Today on the Make Sierra Leone Famous podcast, I'm talking to a rising film star, scriptwriter, and producer. She's the founder and CEO of Lima's Diary, a media production company in Sierra Leone. In 2016, Lima's Diary made its first film, Wild Emotions. Since then, she's made two more, Together by Law, and most recently, Profit Point. Profit Point will have its first international screening in May 2020 when it plays at London's Popular Union, hosted by Young Salon. My guest for today is producer, actress, and, you know, with the mostest, Alimatu Farrakhan Cisse. Woohoo! Hi, Alima.
Hi, Vicky.
It's so good to finally meet you. I feel like I've been watching you online for a really long time, but I haven't really had the chance to ever, like, even have a proper conversation. So it's really good to have you on the podcast. I love what you're doing, and I want the world to know.
Well, thank you so much, and I'm happy to be here. It's a pleasure.
Okay, so since Profit Point is going to be premiering real soon, for people who haven't watched it, what is this story about? What's the Profit Point?
Well, Profit Point is about the Saiwe Akomot.
Who say you come out?
Upline, the slums area.
Okay.
So for me, Profit Point is one of the best, you understand, because it gets to tell originally about the slums and everything that young people are going through in the slums. And in the middle of all that, we can find peace and love, and we can believe in each other. Understand? So Profit Point is divulging basically on what the upper class and people who think they've got it all, the rules that they are setting, you know, for people around the slums area.
Okay. So it's basically about underdogs. They're people who are living in, I guess you would say, on the outskirts of what the mainstream is. Whatever the mainstream is in Sierra Leone, this movie is about underdogs. What are some of the characters that are, like, really iconic that people are going to remember?
One is Karisin Duwai, who is a lawyer and a journalist in the movie, who went to the slums to write up a documentary that can benefit the slums. And he realized that his father, who is one of the ministers that are preaching against, you know, paying for sex, you know, the girls should go to school, you know, is actually the individual who is paying for sex, who has pimp around the slums, grooming young ladies instead of sending them to their vocation, sending them to school, but rather they are using them as an escort. And in return, these ladies are making money, you know, basically take care of themselves, and the other people who are paying for these things are also benefiting. So that's the profit point. It's, you know, it's a win-win for both parties.
I see. So is it that everybody in Profit Points is both like a good guy and a bad guy? Does everybody have this like dual personality where they're like, I don't know, I feel like the villain is also the good person, or the good person is all, like, who are you rooting for? Who are people rooting for in this movie?
We've got Nima Tasalam, whom I played as, who is actually a prostitute at the slums, but basically wants to go to school, you understand? She's not that kind of person. She doesn't want to be like that. But at the same time, when she met her friend, she wanted to provide for herself, you understand? It is because of the environment she found herself. So she decided to say, you know what, let me start from somewhere. Maybe something can, you know, can help me out. And Zeto also is the pimp. Zeto has a degree, understand, but he has to work as a pimp so he can get
a pimp with a degree. Wow.
Yeah.
Did he go to Dominion? Is it one of those Dominion degrees?
No, it's not Dominion. No, it's not. Well, interestingly, I wish it was Dominion, but it's not Dominion. He has a degree, but he can't get himself a job because of, okay, at the slums, people believe that it is who you know, you understand, before, you know, outshine in any other thing. So Zeto feels like, okay, before earning, you know, a job or something that I need more money, let me just be doing one or two things for these big guys, you understand, putting together girls for them, taking the girls to them, and he has his own interest, his own connection.
I mean, it's very interesting because, you know, when I first moved back to Sierra Leone, and we used to go to like parties, this was in the days of parties, we used to go to old school. It was very common to see pimps and prostitutes, especially when we had lots of expatriates, you know, like the peacekeepers in Sierra Leone. You would see like, there's always some guy that everybody knows that, like, that's the guy that fixes, you know what I mean? Like, connects, you know, like, prostitution in Sierra Leone. But I don't even think that they lived in slums. Like, I feel like we have pimps everywhere in this country.
basically, they do not live only in the slums. So some of them have got location houses at the slums. We are in the worst things. Everything by a profit point is something that I have seen for real. It happens. You know, everything on that movie happens.
Yeah.
You know, so I just take from...
Sure. How did you do the research? I mean, I'm guessing, I think you're originally from Kenema, correct? Like you were born in Kenema.
Yeah.
I'm guessing in Kenema, it's, you know, a Freetown, the situation in a slum in Freetown is completely different from like, you know, what's going on in a rural community in Kenema or in Kenema town. How did you go about collecting the information that inspired the movie?
So I was born in Kenema, but I moved to Freetown, I think when I was 4 or 5 years of age. And so I've spent all of my life here in Freetown. You know, so I am a writer. Interesting things, you know, just hit me up. That was the day I was returning from a meeting at the beach and I took a keke, you understand? And the keke and these prostitutes, we are fighting for a change. In fact, I have that scene. On Coffee Points.
Okay, you wrote it into the movie. Okay.
Yes, the thing is there. And also, I have to engage the lady and even give the lady 10,000 yen so she can forget about the 2,000 yen. Understand? So I started conversation with her and I visited. It was interesting for me, her story on that day when I engaged her, when we talked. It was just, her name was Aminata. and the main character in the movie is Nimata. I just changed the name a little bit. So we then went.
Okay.
By then, I was looking for something raw, something different I can lay my hands on and then change the whole narrative. Understand? So we became friends. I started checking in. I mean, we spent about a whole month, me and my director, visiting Aberdeen, you know, just to collect a few of, you know, some aspects of Profit Point. Even when we were looking for location at the slums, and we actually slept there for a weekend just so we get the right location that can interpret the whole story.
Wait, which slum is in Aberdeen?
There is a very big slum in Aberdeen when you... The whole movie
is it under the bridge?
After the beach.
So the left, like you know, yes. Grammar school is like on the right. So down on the other side of the road.
Yes,
down there.
After the beach. After the beach, there is a very big community there, a whole village.
What is it called?
I think it's called, I have forgotten the name, but it has its okay. name there. Yes, I think yeah. it's around Coke Signboard. Coke Signboard.
Okay. No, Coke Signboard. Right. I know. I mean, it's so funny because, you know, we all drive by that bridge every day. And you see like the small, small Cambodis like in the distance. Until you just said it, like I never really made a mental connection like, oh, there's a slum community over there. But like I know where that is. Right. What kind of people end up living in slums in Sierra Leone?
Well, for the slums, you cannot judge, you cannot say particularly people who are coming from the provinces are the ones living in the slums. Mm-hmm. Some people who are mm-hmm. at the slums are actually born in Freetown, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And they've been there for like their mothers, their grandmothers, you understand? They've been
wow.
there. Yeah. So it's not particularly people that, okay, I'm from the provinces, okay, let me live slums, and that there are decent people in the slums, there are decent houses there. It's a whole village. Mm-hmm. There is a whole
okay.
connection and a whole tradition when you get to the slums. I know all of that when we were shooting Profit Point, because every other corner of Profit Point was shot in the slums. We have to engage the police people there, the community aid man. You understand? Mm-hmm. I mean, the slums has its own government inside itself, a whole operation.
The Make Sierra Leone Famous podcast is made possible by Dot Blue. With its certified air freight service, Dot Blue is the easy and affordable way to ship to Salon from the US or from the US to Salon. No need to wait till someone is going home. Dot Blue will deliver your next package to Sierra Leone in 15 days or less. To ship with Dot Blue, contact us on WhatsApp on +1 240 460 2056 or +232 88 313 330. In Sierra Leone, you can find our office at 17A Wallace Johnson Street in Freetown. Fly and go with Dot Blue. We go deliver for you. DOTBLEU.com.
I totally believe you. So you said you were born in Kenema and then you moved to Sierra Leone when you were four. How did you get into the creative arts? How did you, like, you know, what was that early moment of that spark that led you towards like storytelling and writing and creative expression? What did it for you?
Because growing up, you know, our tradition, growing up, it was difficult to talk. It was difficult to find someone to engage and being honest and stand about things and how you feel as
okay.
young girls. Understand? For me, that is what I am saying. I've got two boys, Elijah and Jewel. And at this age, one is four and one is six.
Mm-hmm.
At this age, I encourage them a lot to talk. You know, they are my friends. You know, I allow them to see me as somebody that they can talk to.
Mm-hmm.
understand. For us, you know, there was nothing like that growing up, you know, tradition, custom, you know, with our friends, with our sisters, you know, with our mother. It was difficult. So the only thing I can do by then is to write, you know, the way I feel about things. You know, I take my worries, I take my love, my romance, my you know, the way I see things differently, I take them to my diary. Okay. You know, so, and I feel it's not something we might want to do, you know, based on experiences and everything we've been through till this age. I guess at this age, we want to be talking more to our kids, engaging them, you know, so they tell us how they feel rather than just writing in a diary that is so boring sometimes.
Okay, how did you transition from this habit of writing your personal and intimate stories to then writing fiction and, you know, screenplays or movies?
Because I in writing, I feel in our mind we develop this thing that, okay, let me decide that this story is fiction. You understand what I mean? Every story that I have, from Wild Emotions to Together by Law to Profit Points, these are not stories that are fiction. Maybe I'll just change or tweak the words or change the names of the characters, you understand? But these are stories that are real. They happen. And at each point, I try to preach about either education, about protecting young girls and boys, you know, because I believe that boys go through things as well. I'm not a feminist.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I believe they rape boys, you know, they abuse boys too. So that is why I engage my sons a lot. Understand? So at every point I preach about domestic violence, you know, emotional abuse, you know, verbal abuse in all my movies that you've seen. So fiction is what I decided to just say, okay, let me make this a fiction. So you, Vicky, you look at my movie and say, okay, it's a story, it's a fiction. But for me, the writer, these are things that are happening. These are things that are coming from one corner of my life. Either my sisters, either my cousin, either my friends, or either me, myself. So all my stories, even the ones that are looking forward, that I am looking forward to right now, are in fiction. They are real. You know, and it is so amazing.
It's more like you are using film to tackle social issues that actually exist in Sierra Leone. So this isn't some figment of your imagination. It's the lived experiences of the people in your life and the people in your community.
Yeah. For me, I'll not say tackle. I'll just say vent. Because growing up for me was vent. I use writing to vent a lot, you know, especially my stories. Growing up, it was hard for me, the things I saw, you know, within and around the community I grew up in. You know, things were just, you know, it was one girl out of 20 who actually survived to Gwabi College. Growing up around, you know, Kosoton, Full Bay area, the Fly Street, the Party Street, the Savage Square. It was rough, you understand? You, at that point, you need God to actually say, okay, I want to become this person. I want to go to Fulani College and become somebody. I want to earn a degree. Around those areas, it wasn't important to most girls. Yeah, so there are scars, a lot of scars around at this point. So I'm not even done yet in telling some of those, venting out some of those things, because I felt it emotionally, you know, affected me a lot.
And then you come to then like teenage pregnancy, right? And child marriage. You look at it and you're like, oh, 30% of the girls in Sierra Leone are married before they turn 19. You're like, ah. Then you look at maternal mortality and you're like, oh, Sierra Leone has either the third worst maternal mortality rates in the entire world. And then you look at education. Then you look at women's role in society. Amosumanende in a leadership position. You look at women in the workforce. Amosumanende get salary job. Even if you get job, side and then pantapole and they own.
It's so sad, you know, because all of these things are happening and they are killing some of our women, daily. I mean, I grew up, you know, watching men beating their women, you know, and she would get sick and at the end of the day die. And society, you know, I'll see imams, I'll see pastors come and preach, you understand, and take this woman for burial. And the next 2 months or 3 months, the man is married again, you know, and the same society, the same religion come to you. Hey, go be an man. You understand? For the picking the way you don't bomb. You understand? Yeah. So growing up at this point, you understand, I realized that women in this country can only be free when they're financially independent.
The radio broadcast of the Make Sierra Leone Famous podcast on Radio Democracy 98.1 is made possible with a generous grant from the Asma James Foundation. The Asma James Foundation empowers women and girls with mentorship, scholarship, and life skills training. To make Sierra Leone better for girls and girls in Sierra Leone better, visit the Asma James Foundation at asma, that's A-S-M-A-A, james.com. And now, let's go back to the show.
I know that's right, girl. You better tell it. You better tell it. I'm telling you. That's a fact. That's why I be preaching. A man is not a financial plan. That is my mantra. Is my mantra. Women cannot be free until they're making their own money. It is everything that my life is about, my sister. You are spot on.
So women and girls, they should learn to, I mean, work hard, do the right thing, and stop depending, you know, on the guys. You getting married or blah 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 should be a matter of love and romance, not a financial plan for the future or for your children. You can still walk away if you're not happy, if you're not happy emotionally, and it's right. You know, I've got a script that I just finished and I shared with my friend, Jaina. You know, it's a short film. You see, that's domestic violence. And she got back to me, Lima, so the lady is actually divorcing her husband when she's pregnant like that just because of a slap? I said, yes, just because of one slap. That is how I see it.
Hey, my sister, one slap is one too many. Because if I was first slap, that means you're setting up 100 slaps. Oh,
exactly. You know, I said that's the extreme we should be ready to go. You know, some of us, you understand, one slap can lead to so many things. You understand? So we should not be taking that. We should not be taking that. You're a wife. You mean you're the one that is giving back to these children. You go for work and come back and support. Why should you be treated like that? You know, and verbal abuse. Oh my God, verbal abuse is so much in this country. Understand? Sometimes it hurts the way even we treat ourselves as women, the way we talk to people. You know, the way we address each other. It hurts. I am somebody that is so much affected by words. You know, if you say something bad to me right now, I'll take it to my diary. And it's like, the only way, I cannot say it back to you, but the only way I'll get at you is vent out through a script, you know, that this is what Vicky or this is what this individual said to me. I am affected, strongly affected by what you said to me. Either pull me down or motivate me to do something. And verbal abuse is so much in our country. You know, even people that we see as educationists, and that is why I was telling my friend one of these days that we need exposed educationists in this country. People are all over the place with degrees and masters, but they are not exposed to certain things.
Mm-hmm. Like listening to you is like hearing myself talk because I'm exactly the same way. I also started writing when I was very young, poetry primarily. I used to write a lot of poetry, and the poetry that I wrote was always about really trying to express the things that like I saw and experienced, and, you know, bringing that into my poems. And then of course now, you know, 16 years ago, I started a blog called sweetsalon.com. And when I started writing that blog, it really was just to catalog my experiences as a Sierra Leonean in the diaspora. And so I'm very intentional with my words because I know that they have weight. So even something as simple as, you know, you just useless, or you will just get a copy for me. So those kinds of things to me, like these very common expressions that we have, are things that, like, to me, when I hear them, I'm like, I can't believe you just said that.
Like, yeah.
They're not, especially when they're words spoken to children or around children, because those words kind of like, I feel like they're dehumanizing and they rob someone of their dignity. And the problem with hearing negative words all the time is that we are all susceptible to them. So if you say all the time, the word that we didn't talk near you, now negative word, then you start to believe that that's who you are. You start to kind of take that in. So what kind of resources, and I know this is like a crazy question to ask in a place like Sierra Leone, but I like for ASCAM, what kind of resources do you have to make these films? How do you get the resources? How have you been able to be a producer of movies in a place like Sierra Leone? Like, where, how do you, how? How are you doing this?
It's a crazy question, you know. I mean, what I meant is a crazy thing because it's the usual question. When I started producing my first film, Wild Emotions, my elder sisters and my mother promised me that after graduating from Fabi College 2016, they would support me to start off something, being the fact that I have been writing for a very long time. And by then, when I started writing scripts, I didn't have a laptop. I was using books, big books. I have those books up till now, you know. So after graduation, my mother, it was a family contribution. My mother, my husband now, you know, my uncle, my sisters, all of them contributed. And my cousins come, okay, you know what? Me go be the welfare, and I be the cook. And I need to say, okay, me go be the costume. I had my auntie who had a boutique. Okay, me go provide for my clothes. Well, it was a family thing, understand? So that is how I raised my first money to create Wild Emotions. After creating Wild Emotions, you know, I am from Fuabe College, you know, all this club thing with the mingle, with the, the girls, you understand? So premiering Wild Emotions got me some money, some funds. And I invited people that were there to donate some money. You know, friends supported. One or two people sponsored with locations, premiere. So I don't have to pay for location. I don't have to make tickets. You understand? So after premiering Wild Emotions, I there was some money from that premiering and the donations. You understand? And I said, okay, I cannot go and just distribute or waste this money off. Let me reinvest the money again. Yeah, so I invest the money again to Together by Law, the whole money. So I didn't make anything from Wild Emotions. So I reinvest the money into Together by Law again. And Together by Law was of standard. A lot of people love Together by Law. You know, we did a lot of promotion, a lot of hyping around, you understand? And I had a friend by then who is a Nigerian, Okechukwu. Okechukwu had... he had equipment, you know, Mac 4 that I was using by then. Mac 4 is of standard, you know. So okay, Chukwu saw that, okay, Alima, you're serious about this thing. Let me support you by reducing some of these prices on the equipment, because we rent equipment per day, like mic, lights, and camera. We had to rent them per day, every day. If I'm shooting for 2 weeks now, I know I am spending 400 or 500,000 per day on equipment, welfare, medicine, transportation for cast, and maybe payments for cast is not even there yet. Understand? So, okay, Chukwu supports with reducing the prices on equipment. You know, on pre-production, I decided to engage, you know, some senior member stakeholders around town that I know on VIP sales with my CD. That was wild emotions. So I engage one or two stakeholders on VIP sale. Now I'll call you, hey Vicky, how are you? Are you at the office? I want to bring my CD so you can support me. So if I go meet you now, hey Vicky, this is my CD. I want to do another movie, but I need to do my VIP sale. Okay, Vicky will say, okay, you know what, Alima, I'll buy one CD, 2 million you, so I support you. So every movie, I gather like 25 CDs that I'll dedicate to stakeholders that I know if I visit their offices, they'll buy for maybe 1 million, some buy $100, some buy $150. So I'll put all that money together and produce Together by Law. And after producing Together by Law was very successful, you know. Stakeholders were there as well. A lot of stakeholders this time around, the premiering was way more than wild emotions, way more than wild emotions. People donated, a lot of money goes into it, in a lot of sponsors. So I get that money again. I get that the old money again and pay off some of my cast members, my crew members, who are my friends, who believe in the process. Who knows that money is not there yet, but if we support Alima, we can take it to this other level. So the same money from Together by Law, we use again to produce Profit Points. And with Profit Points this time around, after producing Profit Points, we've got our own camera that is Blackmagic 6K. And we are still doing our VIP sales, so we get to produce another movie by the end of the year or maybe early next year. So that's that. It's crazy, you know, how we raise our funds, but it's more of sponsors, selling VIPs, doing VIP sales to stakeholders, engaging companies. I write a lot of proposal doing pre-production, a lot of proposal to companies who come on board and support. Maybe that one company will say, okay, Alima, I might not give you money, but I'll support with water. Alima, I might not give you money, but I'll support with my hotel. Alima, I might not give you money, but I'll give you drinks and food, you know, for your cast member or maybe when you're premiering. So it's crazy, but magically, it's magic. Sometimes I say it's magic. But if I say to you now, Vicky, there is certain amount of money that Lima's Diary has produced another movie, then I'm lying to you. But it's just strategy. Standing like people.
We will be right back after this short break.
Let's play. Calibag. Sideway, I come out. Which man, Baba? No complex zone. Watch him, guy. Sideway, I come out. The God sudden God see me people and oh snap and body. Sideway, I come out. Me people and poor suffer for talk to somebody. Sideway, I come out. For sit na profession, the girl and say I ain't a woke. Sideway, I come out. Me man, they want money. I tell you, fist and a joke. This not the place where I go. This not the place where I born. The ghetto, the place where I know. Give me the weed, make a bond. 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 Man is so hot like volcano. Born with the devil, padina yasona L. 20 they sleep na the room, man in the beds, can't see where us keep our cell. Man and door used to the odor, we never mind, the gods are then don't see and smell. The adult make man and disorder, see if no get limits, then can't go the boss and the cover. Man and they die and they go, I look na the grave. RIP done for me brother, intention the life past me, now he is gone, he was my only little brother. Them and me no get laugh, them papay no they play, Ali deaths don't go cool, the young boy no they say. We mocks not a flop, no, so all man they pray. This high way I come up, some but born again. Some CC they sell and some CC give way. Don't na me so then go kill you for phone. Inside me hood you for believe you bone. Ride up the ill man and anger like grown. All we want see another foreign money. We looking for toys, welcome to salon. This high way I come out, come up. The cops are them dot see me people and us snap and body. This high way I come out, come up. Me people and poor, you suffer for talk to somebody. This high way I come out, come up. But if not profession, the girl then say I ain't a woke. This high way I come out, come up. Me man they want money, I tell you this ain't a joke. This not the place where I go.
That was Calibag with The Side Where I Come Out. And now let's head back to the Make Sierra Famous podcast.
No, I think that's fantastic. I mean, Yeah, I for my other people that I've spoken to who are in the creative sector in Sierra Leone, the key thing that keeps coming up is really it's a collaborative effort because there are no resources or there are resources in terms of money, right? This is everybody's cash strapped. Sometimes people bata work, like, okay, me go work for you for free. We me own tenka, you said ka work for me for free. So in that way, like, things are able to happen. And like you said, you know, sponsorships and just like partnership, right? Partnership, give and go and come, basically.
Yes.
Use that to create. On average, what would you say it costs to make a film in Sierra Leone? Like a range, like if you had, what's the minimum or the maximum someone needs to raise to be able to make the kind of films you're making in Sierra Leone? Something like Pocket Points, which I think says. Is it like 200 million, 100 million, 500 million? Like what kind of budgets are we talking about?
Let's start with 70 million. 70.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
70 million.
Which is about roughly $7,000.
Yeah. Roughly $7,000 can start up something for you.
And make a movie. Roughly. So that includes paying for location. So that includes locations, paying talent, hospitality, rental of equipment, like everything you need. You can.
Yes.
So basically, if I give you a budget of, let's say if I give you a budget of 100, you could make a film.
Yes, you can. You can make a film. And it all depends on the kind of story you want to tell.
Well,
how many casts are going to be included in that story. What equipment that are needed. And are you making a film for us here in Sierra Leone? Are you making a film for YouTube? Are you making a film for Paradox? Are you making a film for... what's this again? Are you making a film for Netflix? It all depends on the
okay.
kind of who are you making the movie for. Where do you want the
sure.
movie
yeah.
to stand?
Okay.
So it all depends on that. You invest according
speaking
to that.
Speaking about where do you want this movie to go, your movie Profit Point is going to have an international screening in the UK at Popular Union. Through a collaboration with Young Stone and their company Cinema. How did that relationship come about? Like, how did you get that? How did you make that happen? What happened? Uda Inko Sing Impadi Insista. Did you know that?
Well, Anasa be anybody cousin is sister. Abu, I know Abu Yila. Abu Yila is a great guy. You know, we had this madness of, you know, doing something for Sierra Leone, taking Sierra Leone to this kind of level so people get to see what we have here, you know. And he has been following me and how I do my movies and how I do a lot of things when it comes to creative, you know, mm-hmm. when it comes to the creative sectors. And Abu asked around a friend called Papi and also Jamil about who made these Profit Points. I think this is the same Lima's Diary that I did Together by Law, because Together by Law is on YouTube. So a lot of people, you know, access, you know, they get to YouTube to access my movies and then get to me when they want to support, when they want to contribute or maybe take the movie business to another level. So that's how Abu and Young Saloon gets to me. So we work together for Profit Points.
Okay, so they approached you about this partnership and that's how
yeah.
it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Abu, I remember Abu told me that they love the Creole aspect of Profit Point.
The language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the language. And it's very interesting to them if we can become partners and then work together, you know. And so ever since we've been working together.
I, No, I love that. I think that one of the key ways that the diaspora, people, Sierra Leoneans in the diaspora can really help us make Sierra Leone famous is by building these partnerships with people in various industries in Sierra Leone that, like, at the end of the day, you know, the difference between over there and here is here, while we may not have a lot of resources, over in the diaspora, there's an abundance of resources and access. So a movie in Sierra Leone, you may not be able to charge $40 or $30 for someone to come to a film premiere. You may be able to do that in the US. Do you understand what I mean? So taking contents from Sierra Leone and making it accessible to people in the diaspora, I think is like one great way that people in the diaspora can impact, especially the creative sector in Sierra Leone. Okay, now what kind of organizations, I mean, you're a producer, I know that there are other producers in Sierra Leone and other filmmakers. What are you guys doing collectively as stakeholders in the film industry to increase the quality of the films, to be able to like get more protection of your work, like in terms of like intellectual property?
We will be right back after this short message from our brand partner, the Dollhouse Boutique. The Make Sierra Leone Famous podcast is supported by the Dollhouse Boutique, an American household brand for one-of-a-kind fashion and bespoke creations. Find your next stylish look at shopdollhouseboutique.com. We have stores in Baltimore, Maryland, and Los Angeles, California, showing the best of local designers. Our first international fashion boutique opens in Sierra Leone in 2022. Until then, find us on Instagram at dollhouse.mtvernon. That's Dollhouse M.T. Vernon. And now, make we go back to the show.
Well, we have a body, you know, called Film Guild. I am a member of the Film Guild because I make films. We've got our executive. We've been around, you know, campaigning for our policy, because there are a lot of things inside that policy, you know, that can protect me and other filmmakers as creatives in this country and help us navigate through, help us get in touch with the private sector, you know, help us get in touch with people that can actually invest into what we do as young Sierra Leoneans that believe in creative and telling our own side of the story. Because for me, I always see storytelling and filmmaking as me telling my own side of the story. Because at the end of the day, I don't want someone else to tell my story for me. Because if someone else tells your story for you, they're not going to tell the story the way you want your own story to be told. Understand? So we have our Film Guild, and we are on several movements. We are on campaigns, so government can sign our policy, can enact our policy, so we start operating and realize some of these things that we invest into our movies. And we take it to another level. People that can actually come now and pay Sierra Leoneans for their content, you know, and take it to Netflix with proper investment of camera, light, you know, and sound. You know, we start training people, young people. This is why whenever a young girl or somebody walk up to me, hey, I like you, Lima Starry, I've seen your movies, I want to become an actor. You know, my first question is, why do you want to become an actor? Why do you want to be a script writer? Why do you want to be a producer? You know, why don't you start from being a PA so you get to learn? Go to school, and when you come back, we have young professionals into the business that can think differently, instant, you know, because that is what a lot of other countries have got that we haven't got so much, you know. Now we've got entertainers that earn degrees and then return back and know, go to the studio, or maybe go to the field and produce things. So, but we are working on a lot of things, and I hope and pray that the leaders, you know, the people who are supposed to listen to us, who are supposed to sign these documents and enact them for us, can think again and see that if we enact this policy, this field, this sector can employ a lot of young people. You know, for me now, if I start making a lot of money in my, when it comes to my movies, just imagine how much I'll pay my director, my cinematographer, my editor, my PAs, a lot more of my crew members, you know, my actors. So that is a sector that is so amazing. It's so loving, you know. I just wish, you know, even the private sector, you know, can look into all these things. And then, I mean, some people are trying right now. They are signing Sierra Leoneans as brand ambassador, you know, but we need more. We need more because I am tired of, especially our billboards. You can hardly see, you know, our billboards here in Sierra Leone with, you know, Sierra Leonean faces, entertainers, content creators. Most of the time, we have to ask.
No, you're absolutely right. Even on like, let me call names because it's very important to call names.
Yeah.
Like the big companies that do a lot of media buying, you have AfriCell, you have Orange, you have the bank then are the only sector where I feel like for say committed to look, because where I can watch them bank billboard them, I can see, like, I don't see billboard with Awawa from Miss Universe. I don't see billboard.
The only bank, I'm not what you want, Mickey. The only bank where they do a Sierra Leonean signing, Sierra Leonean based signing, is Gokel Commercial Bank and Sierra Leone Commercial Bank.
Okay, now Gokel, okay, like the same bank, now, and the two same two. Okay.
Gokel do our, you know, and Sierra Leone Commercial Bank, we do Jose and Mahmoud.
Okay, well, then also the sector, and the two local banks that are managing. But I do think you're absolutely right. When I see, you know, it's so easy for to go online, for go pull any kind picture of stock images from any signing, random black person, for user artwork, etc. Absolutely right. But what that does is it's not us, right? It's definitely not us. And so I totally think that that's a fair critique. We should be raising it and asking questions. Like, why aren't we on your billboards?
Yeah.
Why aren't we in your TV commercials? Why aren't we on your social media pages? I think you're totally spot on in terms of giving people visibility and also recognizing those people in our community who are media, entertainment, and leaders and influencers, because they need that. They need it. And we will be better off as a result, because when company commissions something, the company gets a quality standard. So that means, say, the GFFN good cameraman, local cameraman, for taking video, GFFN communication, GFFN writing. So because they're unique and intention to do this, it has a ripple effect on the industry as a whole. So I definitely think you're spot on. Okay, so my closing question closing statement to you is, I wonder, you know, what's coming up next for you? Where would you like to see yourself and your company in the next 5 years, or what plans are you making in the next 3 to 5 years for your brand, or where do you think you're gonna be? Where are we going to see you? What should we expect?
You guys should expect a lot of story that get to deal with young girls, children. I always do that. Women. I love social issues, especially with my next movie that I am looking forward to. And I already start my pre-production now. You know, although I am shooting with Ken Eggs right now at Collins Achipiasis set for his movie called Unpredictable Enemy. No, but Sierra Leoneans should expect great things the next 5 years. We are moving this thing. You know, if you don't get to love us, you know, if you don't get to see us or accept what we've got to offer, then, I mean, maybe you like us from afar, you know, but we need to do something. We need to be more visible. We need to be more visible. We are taking it to the streets. I was telling a producer yesterday that, you know, now, the private sectors, the company owners, blah, 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 refusing to sign a lot of entertainers as brand ambassador, take us to the street. Blah, blah. Let's take it for ourselves, to the streets. Let them see how serious we are, especially after we've been pushing for our policy for about 10 years now, just for that policy to be enacted. As entertainers, we can be safe, we can be protected with what we do right now, you know.
What is the policy? Is it the Film Guild? What is the policy that needs to be enacted?
It is the entertainment policy. In a sense, we are in every other ingredient that can allow me to go to you now, Vicky Rivo, as a producer or as a CEO, that Vicky, I've got this proposal. In a sense, I've got this. How can we have a meeting? How can we talk about this? It allows us to just visit people, you know, touch the right bases, visit, knock the right doors. Okay. So people allow
I hear what you're saying, that the entertainment policy would give you, it's like the government saying that we recognize this sector as the development of the economy, and then here is our agenda with regards to entertainment, and here's what entertainers should be doing or can do. Here's how the sectors engaging this, you know. Okay, I get you. Okay.
So for what we are looking forward to the next 5 years, Sierra Leone will take this movie business to another level, you know, and that is why some of us are adding value to what we are doing right now. As it is right now, I am doing a lot of online calls on my writing and producing, and I'm also doing my master's degree, my MBA on marketing. Those are all value that some of us decided to add to what we do already. So when we go and come back, you know, we are serious about this, and this is what we love doing. This is a sector that we cherish, and we want to go and sit down and maybe teach others how to write and how to produce and how to tell their own side of the story. Because for me, that is what filmmaking is. I mean, maybe is there something else called,
absolutely,
apart from Netflix? Because we'll get there and we'll go above by God's grace. That is what we are looking forward to, by God's grace.
Like what you hear? Don't forget to leave us a review. Your reviews make it easier for others to find this podcast. Don't forget to share it with your friends and family.
Oh, there is absolutely zero value in playing small and having small dreams. So, especially in a place like Sierra Leone, if you're not thinking very, very big, Naif Sefi Dedu. So the bigger you think, the bigger you plan, the larger the goal, higher the likelihood that you're going to get somewhere, right? Because if not small, you want to do not small accomplishments you want to make, then you make I don't. But you need to, I think you're spot on about thinking about, no, we want to go beyond whatever is, beyond your imagination. You know, this whole thing about, it's cliche, but like you shoot for the moon, you end up with the stars, kind of end up among the stars kind of thing. So I'm with you. And I think, you know, if you keep going, because you are really passionate about this and it seems like you're willing to do the work, you will get there. Like everything in Sierra Leone is, you just get Fotawa and keep going. Okay, so now we come to my favorite part of the show, which is on the 6th. On this of the show, I get to ask you 6 questions and you have like 6 seconds to start answering. So I'll ask you, and I just want to say, I want you to say the first thing that comes to your mind, okay?
Okay.
This is On the Six with Alima Farrakhan Cissé. Alima, what's your favorite Sierra Leonean parable or expression?
Light on, go light on, come. No, is it? Maybe, you know, at some point in Sierra Leone, we grew up listening to, hey, light on, go light on, go. Then maybe after 2 days or maybe after 6 hours, long time I don't come. Yeah.
So, yeah, me too. 10 minutes a day, we light can na party. Oh my, they're gonna sleep. I don't come. You want okay idea. Okay, what was the plot of the last movie that you watched in 2 sentences?
The plot of the last movie is Bridgerton. It's about the Bridgertons and the elder daughter with last name, you know, finding the right tutor for herself. Somebody that can represent not only her, but her family members for that tutor.
Okay. I love Bridgerton, by the way. Okay. What song are you playing on repeats right now? What song are you listening to over and over again?
There is this song that was, it was a campaign anyway for the free education. These days, it can't just get out of my mind because I am running a school competition essay because I'm teaching young people and tell them that writing helps. It helps you to tell your own side of the story. So while on that movement, I love to think of replay, pick up your bag and go school. No worry for this season, say not free for the school. Mommy send you to King of School if you're not there lunch, we bomb at in a school. I love that
okay.
song.
Okay, Alima the singer, so Alima the producer, Alima the singer, you know, I love it. Okay, what's one thing you've been meaning to do that you still haven't done?
To travel to the Bahamas, you know, just relax, you know. And forget the whole 2 cents that I have.
Listen, I am all about vacation, staycation. Who said anytime we see vacation, you see me. Vacation and me together. And finally, when you want to quit, what keeps you going?
What? I grew up when we lost our dad, we were so young, and it pulled our mother, you know, and our uncles weren't there to help us, you know, with every other thing, but rather it told our mother that we'll never become something, but rather prostitute. Because at that time, our mother couldn't have a boy, and they label us as prostitutes. So that word, you know, worked me going. You know, and when I started producing things in this country, one or two people who are veterans now told me that I couldn't act, you understand? I couldn't produce good things or act. You know, maybe I'm just starting it for something that can lay off within the 1 year or 6 months. But I'm still here and I've produced 3 movies and I haven't seen what they've done. They're just veterans. So what keep me going? So when you say something to me, challenge me to do more.
I absolutely love it. And lastly, who is one Sierra Leonean, dead or alive, that inspires you?
I would say you and President Kabah, late President Kabah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. It has been such a treat talking to you. I think that Sierra Leone needs more women like you, and I'm really glad that you're out
thank
there.
Thank you for listening to the Make Sierra Leone Famous podcast. Until next time, ta-ta!